entered. A hallmark of our intelligence. Other species follow different paths. The dolphins, for instance. Now you're saying that dolphins are intelligent. They pass knowledge on from one generation to another, Archer said. Deirdre made that discovery just recently. Muzarewa looked unconvinced. Tool making was a key to our developing intelligence. My anthropologist friends tell me that making tools made us intelligent. Dolphins, whales, the leviathans. They live in an environment where tool making is impossible. They'll never utilize fire. They have no energy source available to them outside of their own bodies. But they tell stories to each other, Zeb. The dolphins do that. And the leviathans flash pictures to one another. They're conversing, exchanging information. That takes intelligence. As Deirdre wondered how long this argument would go on, the office door slid open and two people, a man and a woman, stepped in. "Dr. Archer," said the man, "are we interrupting? You did ask us to come to your office." Muzarewa got to his feet. "Grant, Ms. Ambrose, I'd like you to meet Franklin and Janet Torrey, nanotechnicians from Salini." Deirdre nodded toward them. Siblings, she wondered. Maybe twins. Both of the Torreys were short, delicately built, with round faces that had a sprinkling of freckles across their snub noses. Both wore identical pale blue one-piece coveralls. As they pulled up chairs, Muzarewa said, "Back at Salini, they're called the Terrific Torrey Twins. They're the best nanotechs in the solar system." Janet Torrey started to object, but her brother grinned jovially and said, "I've got to admit that they're right, since I'm not afflicted with false modesty." "Or true modesty, either," his sister wisecracked. Everyone laughed, and Deirdre felt at ease. "Now then," said Muzarewa, getting serious, "we are here to get this modified rabies virus out of your body." "Are you a nanotech specialist, too?" Deirdre asked. Muzarewa shook his head slightly. "No, no. I'm here strictly as an observer." He turned back toward Archer. "To tell the truth, I welcome this opportunity to see what Grant has accomplished with this old station." Archer looked pleased. Leaning forward, his childlike face utterly serious, Franklin Torrey said to Deirdre, "We've ginned up a nanomachine that disassembles the virus analogs we built in our lab back at Salini." His sister took up, "But we've only worked on analogs based on the three-dimensional imagery that Dr. Archer sent to us." "So we need to get a sample of the real virus from you," Franklin resumed, "and see if our nano bugs will chew it up." "And if they don't?" Deirdre asked. He looked surprised at the question. "We'll modify the nanos so that they work right. No sweat." His sister nodded her agreement. "You'll be working down in the third wheel," Archer said. "My people are setting up an isolation area for the nanotech lab." Janet Torrey said, "Can you rig the passageways leading in and out of the area with high-frequency ultraviolet lamps? We engineer our nanomachines to be deactivated by hard UV. Archer said, "I meant to ask you about that. Wouldn't it be dangerous for people?" "Not really," said Janet. "You just need a few meters to be exposed to the UV. People can get through it without harm, as long as they don't linger in the area." "I wouldn't want to go sunbathing in the area," Franklin quipped. "It's just insurance that no active nanomachines will get out of the lab," Janet added. "People worry about nanos," Franklin Torrey said lightly. "It's pretty silly, really. A machine that's specifically engineered to destroy one certain type of molecule isn't going to develop a taste for other molecules." Tell that to the crazies back on Earth, Archer muttered. Nano-Luddites. Muzarewa held up a finger. Be fair, Grant. With 20 billion people on Earth, there are plenty of fanatics and madmen who would happily develop nanomachines into terror weapons. I suppose, Archer admitted. A disassembler developed to take apart one kind of molecule, said Janet Torrey, could be modified to attack a wider range of molecules. Only by somebody who knows what he's doing, said her brother, and is nuts. That's what they call gobblers, Muzarewa said, his red-rimmed eyes looking sad, wary. Deirdre asked, Can the nanomachines actually cure me of rabies? How fast will they work? I'll explain all that over dinner, said Franklin Torrey. The room fell silent. Deirdre heard in her mind her father's warning about smooth-talking blokes. But Franklin Torrey didn't look like a smooth-talking bloke to her. He seemed more like a smiling little leprechaun. Dinner, she replied, pleased and a little alarmed at the same time. With both of you? Franklin glanced at his sister and said, Oh, Jen's going to be too busy. It'll just be you and me, Deirdre. Main galley. Deirdre looked over the galley but could not see Franklin Torrey. She had agreed to meet him at the galley's entrance at 1900 hours. She had purposely arrived 10 minutes late, to make certain he'd be there waiting for her. But he was nowhere in sight. She had put on a modest pair of forest green slacks with an overblouse of lace-decorated pale lemon. As she stood at the galley's entrance, she saw several people, mostly men, turning to stare at her.
Don't tell me a beauty like you is all alone.
Startled, she turned to see Rodney Devlin grinning at her. He was in his usual white chef's jacket, spotless for a change. His brick-red hair was shaved close, as usual, while his mustache was thickly luxuriant. I'm waiting for someone, Mr. Devlin.
Red. Call me Red. Everybody does.
Deirdre nodded and made a smile for him.
Well, said Devlin, pointing, you won't have to wait long.
Andy Corvus came ambling through the galley doors.
Hi, Dee, he said with a lopsided grin. Going in to dinner?
I'm waiting for somebody, Andy, Deirdre said, feeling uneasy that Devlin was still close enough to hear everything they said.
Not Max, I hope.
No, not Max. And not Dorn, either. Somebody you haven't met yet. Corvus looked puzzled. Deirdre thought he was about to scratch his head as he stood there, frowning slightly.
Hello there!
Franklin Torrey came striding up to them, a happy, wide smile on his round, snub-nosed face. Deirdre realized for the first time that Torrey barely reached her chin. Feeling slightly awkward, she introduced the two men to each other. Torrey shook hands with Corvus, who looked as suspicious as a policeman. Franklin's one of the nanotech specialists, Deirdre tried to explain. From Cellini.
Oh, said Corvus.
Torrey's expression suddenly went solemn. Almost whispering, he said to Corvus,
You're infected with nanomachines, aren't you?
Me? Andy yelped. No!
Yes, you are, Torrey insisted. Don't try to hide it.
What are you talking about? I'm not...
Torrey suddenly broke into a wide grin.
Viruses, man. Viruses. They're natural nanomachines, and you're full of them.
Huh? Laughing, Torrey tapped Corvus on the shoulder and said gleefully,
Gotcha. You should see the expression on your face.
With that, he took Deirdre by the arm and led her grandly into